News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The man accused of fatally shooting two Israeli embassy employees in Washington, D.C. is facing federal charges of murder of foreign officials and two counts of first-degree murder, which carry the death penalty. Court documents show Elias Rodriguez told police he did it for Palestine and Gaza.
Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated, especially in the nation's capital.
Jeanine Pirro is the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
A young couple at the beginning of their life's journey, about to be engaged in another country, had their bodies removed in the cold of the night in a foreign city in a body bag.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yaron and Sarah, why the victims of a random crime? The terrorists who cruelly gunned them down did so for one reason and one reason alone. He wanted to kill Jews.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
Yeah, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things too, and you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
The tush push stays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Eagles power play, the tush push, will not be banned. The vote was 22-10, two votes shy of the 24 required to ban the play. The meeting got tense. Eagles owner Jeff Lurie yelling at times in defense of the play. Former center Jason Kelce spoke as well. And a report says it was not the Packers' idea to ban the tush push. Instead, the league had asked Green Bay to introduce the measure. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, interviewed on the FanDuel Network, asked, can Jair Alexander still be a Pro Bowl defensive back?
Yeah, Ja's a great player. Unfortunately, he's been kind of snake bit the last couple of years and he's missed a lot of time. And so it's hard to play up to your potential when you're not on the grass. I would say, yeah, I think that's just something that we're working through. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some resolution sooner than later.
Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates scheduled for tonight, but showers in the forecast for Pittsburgh with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and cool with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. And up into the mid 60s for the holiday weekend with more sun than clouds. A chance of rain Monday night and Tuesday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Doctors in Recital, who will sing in the studio. Then Milwaukee-based director, producer, and UW-Milwaukee professor Tate Bunker joins the show. It will feel like a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday to everyone. If you have been listening in the last hour, we were very lucky to have our friend.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need...
The next days and weeks unfold after the House's adoption of the budget reconciliation bill. All of this in lead up to Memorial Day and our nationwide observances. Well, I have two very special guests that are joining me this afternoon from the Disabled American Veterans. First, we have Commander Gregory Paolo. We are also joined by Al LaBelle, who's on the Legislative Committee and helps lead the Wisconsin Benefits Protection Division. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. And let me just say this first. Thank you for your service in protection of our country. It is appreciated and deeply respected. Greg, Commander, if I can start with you this afternoon. For folks that may not be aware, tell us a little bit about Disabled American Veterans, your organization.
The Disabled American Veterans was founded in 1920, and we were chartered by Congress in 1932. We are a charitable, VA-accredited, nonprofit veteran service organization, and our mission is to ensure veterans lead high-quality lives with respect and dignity. We are the world's largest organization of service injured wartime veterans. And we are at a national level of nearly 1 million members. And our Wisconsin membership exceeds 13,000 members.
Wow. Large organization. Are all of your members injured in service, or do they also include veterans who were not injured in service but became disabled later?
It's a veteran who... And it does not have to be in conflict. Training, other mishaps, moving from one... station to another station, any type of an injury while you are on active duty makes you eligible to be a member.
Thanks so much. Al, if you can tell me a little bit about the sort of services that you provide to your 1 million wartime men and women that are part of your organization.
Yes, Maggie. But before I do that, I just want to add on that what Commander said is accurate. But there's also another category that might occur, and that is, say, you're a paratrooper who at 28 years old has done 30 jumps. I feel great, whatever. Suddenly they're 50 years old and their back's bothering them or their knees are shot. So that might be one way. Might be a delayed injured in service, but yes, they would be eligible to be a member.
That's important that. Now, as an old has-been college athlete who's done zero parachute jumps, I can tell you my knees, not so good, my friend. I completely understand what you're saying. Tell us, Al, if you wouldn't mind continuing, tell us a little bit about the services that you offer to your membership.
Well, first of all, we help more than 1 million veterans each year in life-changing ways with benefits, transportation, advocacy, employment, and volunteerism. Benefits, we have a office in Milwaukee. All our services, incidentally, are free.
Well, that's an important detail. Free.
Yes.
That's big.
So anyways, we have what I call national service offices in 50 states and Puerto Rico. Our national service officers are highly trained. And again, professional assistance to veterans and their families in obtaining VA and other government benefits. Our national service officers are all service injured wartime veterans who are attorney. In fact, again, our office, national service office, is at the VA regional office in Milwaukee, and they can be reached by calling 414-202-5736. That number again is 414-902-5736. Just in case we have a listener who is a veteran and is having bad knees and he was a paratrooper.
Folks, that is Al LaBelle. He is on the legislative committee. He also heads up the Wisconsin Benefits Protection Team for the Disabled American Veterans. He's joined by Commander Gregory Paulo. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Again, that number, if you are a disabled vet, disabled, injured in service, and you are in the Wisconsin area, you can call the Milwaukee office at 414-902-5736. That's 414-902-5736. And as we always do on this fine program, we will put the website for the Disabled American Veterans and that phone number in the notes from today's show. So if you missed that, don't worry. We will give it to you. You can find the show notes by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Commander, if I can ask you next.
Could I just add
please.
One thing in there? We have a national service office in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. And if somebody is traveling around and needs to get a hold of the phone number is accessible at any VA regional office. You could get a phone number for our regional office.
Thanks so much, Commander. I wanted to ask you guys about this because I've got a number of uncles who served, and my parents have helped one of my uncles navigate the system to obtain benefits. It is complicated. Both of my folks are retired. It was basically like a full-time job for them for well over a year. Again, getting all of the benefits that one of my uncles was entitled to. So how do you ensure, do you have, is like a social worker assigned to the veteran or their attorney in fact to help them navigate the system? Do you have general training sessions for people? Because this is a really challenging process, especially if you yourself are the disabled veteran. You've got all this administration and paperwork and follow-up that's required. How do you help people navigate that system? Commander, let's start with you if you don't mind.
You would start by going to the National Service Office, and you could access that by getting a hold of any DAV member, and they would be able to forward you that way. Also, in almost every one of our chapters, we have service officers that are out in the area and are close. They do preliminary workups on you, and then send the paperwork to the service office in Milwaukee. And from there, they will submit it for you. And your whole time that your paperwork is with the VA, the National Service Office personnel monitor and follow your progress. And if there's ever any problems that come up or arise with your paperwork and everything, then they're right on it. And sometimes they'll answer it for you because it's just a minor glitch in the system, or they'll get a hold of you and get the answer and give it back for you. But they are constantly monitoring what's happening with your claim.
Wow, Commander, that is, I'm so encouraged to hear that because, again, I've talked with my own family members. Gosh, how would anybody manage this if they didn't have people to help them? And that is part of your organization's mission. Again, folks, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm talking to two representatives of the Disabled American Veterans. We've got Al LaBelle and Commander Gregory Paolo. Al, I wanted to ask you about this. One of the things that I've chatted with my uncles about a few times, the two that are still able to do so often drive long distances to help get other vets to their medical appointments at their local VA center. The Disabled American Veterans, you folks address these transportation issues. Can you tell us a little bit more about your transportation services that you provide to disabled vets?
Yeah, it's an extensive program which provides free rides to veterans who have difficulty getting to and from their scheduled VA medical appointments. Nationwide, last year we gave 235,000 rides. And in Wisconsin, we have 43 volunteer-driven vans. Perhaps you may have seen one crisscrossing the state. And last year, we gave over 16,000 veterans rides to their scheduled VA appointments. Maggie, may I go back to the benefits again?
Of course.
There's two ways. If you're a veteran, and I'm not sure the scope of your program, how far it goes, but you can go to the DAV National website and find your local DAV chapter. It's in one of the drop downs, and just contact the DAV chapter. As Commander Paolo said, there's a chapter service officer that'll help you initiate a claim. Also, we have what is called informational seminars, which we periodically put on and publicize. Like last year, I live in Marshfield. That's where my chapter is. Last year, we publicized it, and we had quite a few people show up. So those are a couple ways that if you're a veteran and you're wondering, hey, am I eligible for a benefit? Those are a couple methods that you might use.
Wonderful. Thank you. That is Al LaBelle. Mr. LaBelle, you may live in Marshfield now, but I'm going to hazard a wild guess that you may not have been from Marshfield, Wisconsin originally, sir.
How did you guess?
Again, some very keen sense of intuition I have.
Massachusetts,
sir. We've got Al LaBelle and we've got Commander Greg Powell, both of the Disabled American Veterans. We're going to have more of a discussion with these gentlemen about the other services that the DAV provides to disabled vets here in Wisconsin and across the 50 states and Puerto Rico. We're going to have their website, the number from the Milwaukee chapter, all in our show notes. So don't worry if you missed any of that. But you're not going to want to miss any of my upcoming conversation with these two fine veterans. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home, for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome. If you're just joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, in our ramp up to our observance of Memorial Day, we've been very fortunate to be joined by a number of guests addressing veterans' issues. This afternoon is no exception. It's my privilege and honor to be joined by two veterans from the Disabled American Veterans, Commander Gregory Paolo and Al LaBelle, who's on their legislative committee and helps head up the Wisconsin Benefits Protection Team at the DAV. You can find out more about all of the DAV services by going to their website. Now, we're going to include all of this information in our show notes, but if you do want to write it down, here's their website. It's dav-wi.org. That's dav-wi.org. And just before the break, we were talking with these two fine gentlemen about some of the transportation services. Mr. LaBelle shared with us that in 2024, the DAV gave over 235,000 rides, that their vans traveled over 9.2 million miles. Here in Wisconsin, they traveled nearly 500,000 miles. If you would like to become a volunteer driver, or if you yourself are a vet that needs a ride to your VA medical appointments, you can call this number. And again, all this info in the show notes. Here's the number, 920-338-8620. That's 920-338-8620. Commander Paolo, while we were in commercial, You asked me to ask you to be sure that people knew about the transition service officers that are at military bases. Tell us more, Commander.
Yes, the DAV also has transition service officers that get together with the veterans before they separate from the service, and they get them started on their VA claims, and they get it all lined up for where they're going back for their home base when they get out. And in addition to that, they also give counseling to us on how to do job interviews and how to dress for job interviews, because most of us are going to be separating out and going to a job. And actually, working in the military is a lot different than working in the civilian community. And so they give you guidelines and dressing standards so that it can help you with your interview process.
Those kinds of things, I think, get overlooked so frequently, right? When people, whether it's transitioning out of the military or even, you know, going to your first job interview, I knew I needed to figure that out and could have used some help myself when I was entering the job market. But those kinds of things are absolutely essential for any service member transitioning out of active service. Al, let me ask you a bit about the volunteerism programs within Disabled American Veterans.
Yes, Maggie. That's one of our key programs, and we have numerous volunteers at the VA medical centers at Milwaukee, Madison, and Tolma, along with state veterans homes. And we have what is called an LVAP program, veterans who help in the local community. Like somebody my age, I don't enjoy shoveling snow anymore. So usually there'll be a volunteer that will come and help me shovel the sidewalk. And that would be considered part of our local veteran assistance program. Nationwide, we're logged in over, we keep the number of hours that a veteran volunteers. So nationwide, we had 3 million volunteer hours. And in Wisconsin last year, we had 89,000 roughly hours of volunteers did at the either state or VA facilities.
That is essential. And I can tell you this, Al, I think you might have a couple, 2-3 years on me, sir, and I don't even like shoveling anymore. That is a drag. I consider that my fitness workout for the day, and it like box checked. But folks, again, remember, you can volunteer some of your time for Disabled American Veterans. You can check out those programs at dav-wi.org. Now, Commander, I think I moved a little bit too quickly. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about your employment programs, because you host a ton of events, a ton of job fairs. You also help veterans who are starting their own businesses. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes.
Let me go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, we've got some service programs for employment, and through partnership with Recruit Military, DAV sponsors career fairs, both in person and virtual, to connect veterans and their spouses with employers who are committed to hiring them. Last year, we hosted 101 events with 31,700 attendees, resulting in 12,590 job offers. Recently, the DAV started a patriotic boot camp, which for disabled American veteran entrepreneurs, and it's a building block of networking of these veterans and their different business organizations, and how they work problems, and other people that are with them can ask them about the problems and how they worked it, because they have like a similar problem. So
That's terrific. Those are some programs
we have.
That is Commander Greg Paolo, Mr. Al LaBelle of Disabled American Veterans. Gentlemen, again, thank you for your service. May you have a blessed Memorial Day observance coming up. Folks, don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll have all the information shared here this afternoon from these two fine gentlemen in our show notes for today. Again, that's the Disabled American Veterans. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local...
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipating massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight and cool with lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 60s. And up into the mid 60s for the holiday weekend with more sun than clouds. A chance of rain Monday night and Tuesday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
On, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know about you all, but like, I feel better after talking to our two last guests. We just had on, and I want to again give a big, big heartfelt thanks to Commander Greg Apollo and Al LaBelle of the DAV. Mr. LaBelle correcting me as we took care of some final matters off the air. The organization prefers to be called the DAV, so my apologies for getting that wrong, and my thanks for the correction. We're always trying to learn here together. Again, if you want to learn more about the DAV, go to dav-wi.org. The number to the Milwaukee chapter, 414-902-5736. That's 414-902-5736. I don't want to go back into the partisan hammering after that. I was talking with Mr. LaBelle. We're going to have him back on because part of what the DAV does is they have an extensive advocacy program where they will talk with legislators to advance and to advocate for our veteran community. They just had a large event this past April 22nd. They were at the Capitol here in our state. They had over 400 veterans in attendance. So we're going to have Mr. LaBelle back on the show to talk to him about veterans issues. While I don't really relish the idea of getting back into the partisan wrangling, we do have to address the business of the day. And I wouldn't really be doing my job if I didn't point out that one of our congresspeople, a veteran himself, and also a guy who received food stamps, has had some things to say about continuing support and potential cuts to the VA. I think we got to take a listen. This is Representative Derek Van Orten talking about cuts to the VA.
Here's what happened. Mr. Secretary, I had my crack graphics team draw this up so I can explain to some people what's going on. Here it is right there. That's the whole VA. This is the problem with the VA. Okay? This is the increase in bureaucrats. These are the doctors. It's almost a flat line. And then we have an increase with the veterans because of the PAC Act, right? So when we are going to cut the VA, and I hope you do, sir, this is where you need to make the cut, right there, in this line, right there, sir. If Mr. Secretary, if you cut this, then this line with the doctors and stuff, the people that are actually touching our veterans and providing care can go like this, right? And then we can match the increase with vets. So, Mr. Secretary, I'm incredibly happy and looking forward to working with you and your administration. And if there's anything, just if you have a top-line item that we can do from the congressional side, power of the person, all that stuff, if you could, you know, rattle off one or two of them, it would be great. We will write these down, and we'll take it for action.
Yeah, let's support cuts to the VA. It's just, I guess there's a saying in the law, it's res ipsa loquitur, it's fancy Latin speak for the thing speaks for itself. I think the thing speaks for itself, do you not? And on that big, brutal bill, every single Wisconsin congressperson voting for the bill in the middle of the night because they were proud of it or not. Again, Congressman Van Orton, who pledged to never cut emergency food assistance, just broke that promise and voted to cut emergency food assistance. 18 million kids are likely to lose their school lunches. 14 million Americans will lose their health care. And what we found out in the last, 40 hours, somewhere in that ballpark, this big, brutal bill will also cut $500 billion from Medicare. So not just Medicaid, ladies and gentlemen. That's $880 billion. Another $300 billion from emergency food assistance. And yes, $500 million will be cut from Medicare starting next year. That's what we're looking at. And then there's this. Thought I'd tell you about the, quote, manager's amendments. You know, the stuff that they stuck in to the big brutal bill right at the last minute. Some interesting provisions. There's, of course, the tanning salon exemption. Weird. Why are they worried about tanning beds? I don't know. That was one of them. Inexplicable. I'm sure there's some reason. But here are some of the additional last minute. Just squeak this in. I'm sure no one will pay any attention since it's 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. The amendment struck language that would have calculated the retirement payments for federal employees based on the average of a worker's 5 years of highest income instead of the last 3 years. So, Screw those federal workers. Yep, check, check. Let's see here. Oh, gun silencers. Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia had already won the elimination of a $200 transfer tax on gun silencers. So, you know, we don't want to tax the buying and selling of silencers because that might, maybe disincentivize the buying and selling of silencers. That's something that we want to incentivize, I guess, for Andrew Clyde of Georgia. But he got more in the wee small hours. It also strikes now the $200 tax on the manufacture of gun silencers and otherwise completely remove silencers from the regulatory oversight, the purview of the National Firearms Act. You know, the thing that you put on a firearm so it doesn't sound like a firearm? Yeah, that's no longer regulatable under the National Firearms Act. We can thank Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia for that. Check, check. Here's another one, manager's amendment. The sale of public lands in Nevada and Utah, that was eliminated. Let's see here. Language inserted, allowing for the sale of public lands was struck. Members in those states wanted the provision, but Representative Ryan Zinke of Montana stood firm against using land sales to raise revenue for the megabelt. Well, that might be a plus. They actually stopped some public land sales. Who knew? I don't think because they want to keep the land, they just don't want to raise revenue that way. Okay. Trump accounts. Oh, yes. This one's fun. The Ways and Means Committee included a new tax advantage savings vehicle, which isn't actually tax advantaged at all. I can get into that explanation. I used to run a 401k style plan. I know a little thing, two, three things about this. They were going to call them MAGA accounts. Last night, they figured, we should actually call those Trump accounts. Call those Trump accounts. And again, tanning salons. Oh, abortion. There was something they snuck in there about abortion. The new language is going to restrict payments to ACA plans that offer abortion in any situation other than rape and incest. So if you cannot other if you do not have employer provided health insurance,
WFHR.
You have to go get health insurance on the ACA exchange. No health insurance for abortions for you, even if they're legal in your state. Yes, because we know that making abortion illegal saves women's lives and reduces the infant mortality rate. Oh, wait, checks notes. No, no, it actually has the opposite effect. Maternal mortality goes up. So does infant mortality. And but at least there's fewer abortions. Oh, wait, checks notes. No, that's not true either. So much for the pro-life argument. This is probably my favorite in the big brutal belt. Like, again, aside from this being the largest tax welfare plan for 100 billionaires, gazillionaires, the Elon Musks of the world, and mega corporations. Aside from that, and aside from the fact that it's the largest gutting of health insurance and emergency food assistance in our nation's history. You know, aside from all of that, these other things are interesting too. There was this little provision snuck in last night. This is on the remittance tax. Doesn't that sound boring? Sounds really uninteresting, doesn't it? Remittance tax. That amendment scales back tax on overseas remittances. That means when you bring money back from all of your many bank accounts abroad, right, Jacob? You've got a ton. I have a couple hundy bank accounts abroad. We're international men and women of mystery here at Civic Media. Yeah, got rid of that tax on those remittances. Scales it back, actually, from 5% to 3.5%. Because why? Because only rich people have money and bank accounts abroad. Let's not collect that revenue. We need less revenue. We just gave away $22 billion for what? All those regular people with those bank accounts abroad. Yeah, that was $22 billion. Gone. And last but certainly not least, last minute, 2-3 a.m. revisions to the bill. Rolled back a whole mess of green energy initiatives under former President Joe Biden. Because, weather is not getting more extreme, Jacob. It's just like it was a decade ago, right? If you guys don't know Jacob, he's the quiet man behind all of the machinery that makes sure that you can hear my voice. I appreciate him dearly. He laughs at my jokes silently. I hope you're chuckling along as well. Yeah, well, that is the big, brutal bill. Keep an eye on that one. The worst is yet to come. I want to talk to you all a bit about the intentional infliction of emotional harm, which is a tort. You can sue someone for this. And Jacob, do you have this Russell Vote sound ready to go? We're going to listen to the guy that Donald Trump picked to head up the Office of Management and Budget. In regular people speak, this dude is the HR director of the entire federal government. And this is what he had to say about how they plan to treat federal workers.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work. Because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
We're going to play this again. This is Russell Vogt, the HR director of the entire federal government in 2023 at a private dinner. Run it again.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work. Because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
We want to put them in trauma. This ain't about fraud, waste, and abuse. Don't get it twisted. Never has, never will be. That is garbage. That is a lie. And there you hear it right on tape. And that intentional infliction of emotional distress, it has had real costs. I'm going to tell you about them on the other side. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The gig is up because what's in the bill is in the bill. And what we know is it's going to make the rich richer, the poor poorer. It's going to make life harder for all of us in the middle. Fact. Kids are going to go hungry. People are going to lose insurance. Grandma's getting kicked out of the nursing home. It's all happening. There'll be less veterans benefits. And none of this has ever been, none of it has ever been about efficiency. And I listen, as an economist, I'll be the first one to tell you, yep, government should be more efficient. I've worked in government. I tried to accomplish that. I think I did. Sometimes it requires breaking things a bit and changing it up. But don't get it twisted. What Elon Musk, the billionaire overlords, his posse of post-pubescent boy tech bros, they're not trying to fix it. They're trying to irretrievably break it. And part of that is being executed by terrorizing federal employees. by arresting judges, arresting congresspeople, arresting mayors, threatening universities. And we know this because they're saying it out loud. They also wrote it down in the thing called Project 2025, but, you know, we didn't know anything about that before the election. Oh, whoops. And we know it because they've said it actually out loud. Russell Vogt, the HR director of the entire federal government, said it out loud at a private dinner in 2023. Listen.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
That's it. That's the con. And a federal judge yesterday called them on the con. They've been trying to shut down the Department of Education. I'll talk about that tomorrow or Monday. I'll read from you the decision. But the judge said, no, this isn't about efficiency. There's no evidence. You also haven't made it more efficient. It's about destroying the department. You got to go to Congress for that. But this intentional infliction of emotional distress, which in other countries and other states, depending on which state in the union, you actually can sue someone for doing, it's having real-world consequences. America's rarely seen job losses on this scale ever in our history. To date, 130,000 people are out of a job. More coming. Before that, IBM canned about 60,000 people in 93. That was the worst we had. Decades of data. Look at any studies about job loss. It's more traumatic than divorce. It's more traumatic than being cheated on, than going blind or deaf. And that's what they're doing intentionally. It's not about making it better. It's not about making it work better. It's not about fraud. It's about destroying the programs that every one of you listening knows someone who relies upon. And there are humane, rational ways to reduce workforces, to figure out how much to reduce a workforce. You can look to the Clinton era. Some of that was done then. But according to reporting from the Washington Post, real people are having real physical reactions, real physical symptoms of stress. And some people who may be or maybe already were perhaps psychologically vulnerable, people are being pushed to the edge and beyond. I can't say it causes it, because who knows? People have other health factors. But one could reasonably ask, but for all of this workplace trauma, would these many people be getting this sick and or dying? Because Russell Vogt and Donald Trump and billionaire overlords want to break the back of every federal employee and destroy the federal government. So I'm going to call out the two names in that article from the Washington Post. Again, this ain't cause and effect. I'm not saying that. But when someone sets out to cause trauma, is that really okay? Monique Lockett, 53, died on the job after her workload expanded exponentially after many people were fired from her department. She worked in Social Security. And mother, Caitlin Cross Barnett, she advocated for Medicaid. She had mental health struggles, but she took her life after being fired. is it okay to actually be intentionally cruel? Is it okay to intentionally want to cause trauma? Because if we look past what's being said by the MAGA regime's elected officials and we look to the impact of their policies, trauma and cruelty seem to be the only thing that is being reaped. That's going to do it for me. Please take care of yourselves. If you have thoughts of suicide, please dial 988 and talk to someone. My name is Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The alleged gunman who killed two employees of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. has been charged with murder of foreign officials and first-degree murder. Janine Pirro is the acting U.S. attorney in D.C.
Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated, especially in the nation's capital.
CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
A lone wolf actor was able to perpetuate a brutal crime, and that is because a lone wolf actor is a counterterrorism official's worst nightmare.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
As he was taken away, he chanted, "Free Palestine." This is exactly the same chant we heard on October 7th.
Embassy staffer Ayelet Razin was a close friend of one of the victims.
The world doesn't understand how unsafe and insecure a Jewish person feels in Israel and outside of Israel in the world.
The victims were about to become engaged. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.